Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Wednesday, February the 28th, and welcome to our commentary. We're going to talk a little bit today about this leak, the lab leak out of China, and what it means in so many different ways. But I want to begin by pointing you to a post that I have over at the American Thinker this Tuesday morning. You can read it over at the American Thinker. You can always catch it on my blog. I always post everything at my blog that I post at American Thinker. For those who don't follow American Thinker, you can just read it over on my blog. And I'm talking about Mexico and the concerns that we have with what's happening in Mexico, where you have a very divisive president who's trying to rewrite the country's electoral laws. And that's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. And many people in Mexico are concerned. And that's why they were marching in huge numbers over the weekend on Sunday. And where is this all going to go? I guess it goes to the Supreme Court in Mexico right now. And we'll see what happens next. But, you know, there's a lot of Mexicans who probably are worried about whether or not their president would respect an order from the Supreme Court. I think a lot of them are very concerned about that. And that is why there's so much division and so much concern, really, about what's going on in the country. So we'll keep an eye on Mexico. A lot of interesting things are happening south of the border. There is also going to be an election today, Tuesday, in Chicago, in the Windy City. There's going to be an election for mayor. I think it's the first election. There'll probably be a runoff because there's like six candidates, one of them being the current mayor. Who's going to win? I'm not sure. Who do I want to win? I'm not real sure either, because I'm not sure what difference it'll make unless you can elect a mayor in Chicago who's willing to stand up to the public sector unions, like the teachers union and some of the other unions who seem to run that city. So hopefully, there will be something to cheer about. But I was looking at the candidates. The current mayor, of course, is a disaster. There is a fellow named, I think, Walls, who was the former president of the school board or something, who looks more promising. That's probably who I would vote for if I lived in Chicago. But again, there are some structural problems in that city, just like in the whole state of Illinois. And unless the voters are willing to deal with those structural problems, more people will move out of Chicago. And the problems will continue. But what a mess. What a mess Chicago is in. There's a very interesting article over at Real Clear Politics today saying that maybe this is a sign of things to come, meaning that many of these cities are going to start changing mayors because they've got so many problems. I hope so. Chicago is a city with a lot of problems, and all the problems are self-inflicted. All the problems are self-inflicted by very bad people running the city, and I guess also voters who apparently don't seem to care that much about who they vote for. So we'll keep an eye on the elections up in Chicago. We may do a follow-up on Wednesday. I'll try to find somebody in Chicago who can maybe join us and help explain the situation up there. Let's talk about this whole story about the Chinese lab and the leak, or the accidental leak or whatever, of the virus. It is now apparently becoming accepted to say that the virus came from a lab, meaning that it got out of the lab somehow. Whether it was an accident or whether it was on purpose, we will never know, because the Chinese government is never going to allow an investigation. And anything that you hear from the Chinese government, you got to have a big question mark on it. So we will never know whether it was accidental, whether it was intentional. But, I mean, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, I guess, we can point to. But the big one, did it happen on purpose or was it an accident? I don't know. I was listening to, I think it was Bill O'Reilly, who was saying that there's a theory that apparently there was somebody working in that lab who got infected because he worked in the lab. And then he went out and, you know, going home or whatever, he, you know, infected a bunch of other people. It is a city of 8 million people, after all. And that apparently is the theory, that how it got out there to the city of Guan or Guahan or whatever the name of the city is. I honestly don't know, you know, whether it was intentional or whether it was an accident. But here's what I do know. The way that this was reported back in the United States is a scandal. When this came up back in the summer of 2020, when the possibility came up that this may have come from a lab, a lot of people were canceled. A lot of people were criticized for even talking about it, for even having a discussion about it. You had media organizations questioning, you know, the integrity or the credibility of anybody who supported this idea that it came from a lab. That, I think, is the problem. That, I think, is the real problem. And there were many in the media who went and bought into this, that it was not from a lab, for one simple reason, and that is that they did not want to help President Trump during the campaign. President Trump was open to the idea that it may have come from a lab, but again, you know, as many of you know, there was an attitude back in 2020 that if Trump said yes, we have to say no. And for that reason, the American people were not really allowed to have an open discussion. And I think that's the lesson of this, to me. The lesson is that we should be a society big enough to listen to both sides and have open discussions about things. And people should not be canceled because they want to talk about a leak from a lab, which is what happened. People were literally canceled in social media. If you were to put something on some of the social media sites saying that you believe it came from a lab, you were immediately canceled, in some cases demonetized. In other words, they would cancel your accounts in many of these places just because you brought this up. You couldn't even talk about it. And that, I think, is the real scandal here, that we were never allowed to talk about it. And that should never happen again. That is why we have a media. That is why we have freedom of the press, so that you can have discussions about these things. You don't have to agree with it, but shutting people down because they thought that it came from a lab, that I think is a scandal. And we're going to find out a lot more about it, I suppose, over the next few weeks. But look, there's a lot of people in the media who really got invested in the idea that it could have never come from a lab. And I think those people have a little explaining to do to their viewers, to say the least. Well, there are right now arguments before the Supreme Court, and it's all about whether President Biden can cancel some of these student loans that he promised during the campaign. You know, this was a very good issue, by the way. A lot of people want to know why we didn't have a red wave. One of the reasons we didn't is because the Democrats were very effective at mobilizing a lot of young people, a lot of college students, to get out and vote Democrat, because they were telling them that, you know, President Biden was going to cancel their debts. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Supreme Court is going to say that the president does not have the authority to cancel these debts. That these are, at the very least, these were laws that were passed by the Congress. And if President Biden wants to go to the Congress and say, look, let's rethink all of this, let's rewrite the law, I guess he can do that and then sign that law from Congress, but he cannot unilaterally do it by executive pen. So I think that's what the Supreme Court is going to find out. That's what they're going to eventually opine. That's what their opinion is going to be. And that'll be another executive order by the Biden administration that goes down that way. You know, the Biden administration has been doing too much by executive order. I know why they do it, because they can get the instant gratification. They can tell people, look, when I'm doing this for you, here I'm signing an executive order. But that's not the way our system works. That's not the way our system works. So I believe the Supreme Court will step up and say, no, you cannot do this. And then we'll see what happens to all those people who voted for the Democrats on the basis that they were going to cancel your loan. We'll see what happens to them. This is a fascinating story that I've been watching a little bit from a distance, but nevertheless watching it. You've got power grid problems in Cuba and in South Africa. There's all kinds of problems in these countries with the power grid. And what do these two countries have in common? Well, they're socialist countries. They are countries who have basically where, you know, communist governments or socialist governments have destroyed the infrastructure that was in those countries. So now you're getting a situation like in Cuba, the lights are out most of the time. You know, there are places in Cuba where the lights go on for a few hours and then you don't have lights. And it's not going to get any better because they just have not invested in the power grid. They have not done the things that you have to do to invest in your power grid. So once again, you see the failure of socialism in Cuba and in South Africa. And what a shame. Two countries that could be prosperous, but once you fall in the hands of socialist leaders, this is what happens. This is not a coincidence that this is happening in South Africa and in Cuba, two countries that used to be very prosperous, but have literally been destroyed by a socialist, communist government. Well, let me leave you today with a little memory. We remember Brian Jones. Brian Jones was one of the members of the Rolling Stones. He was one of the original members of the Rolling Stones. He died in 1969. He was born on this day in 1942, and he died in 1969 at a very young age. He was 27 when he died. Brian was a great musician, a very talented musician. He was very popular as a member of the Rolling Stones. But unfortunately, he had addiction problems. Let's just put it that way. He had some problems with addictions, and ultimately the addictions did him in. And he was found dead in the swimming pool of his home. I'm not sure what the police report was, but probably I have read that there was, he had a problem with addictions, and it's probably he just couldn't control himself. So he was found dead in his swimming pool in 1969, but a very talented musician. And if you ever want to show, you know, young people or anybody what happens when you get addicted and how you waste a good life and a positive life and the tremendous talent, just tell them the story of Brian Jones, what a talented musician he was, and he just couldn't overcome his addictions, and the addictions will kill you, as we know for many other people. So Brian Jones, born on this day in 1942, passed away in 1969, one of the original members of the Rolling Stones. And if you ever hear that song, Painted Black, by the Rolling Stones, Painted Black, it was one of their biggest hits. It's Brian who plays the sitar on that song. It's an absolutely fabulous performance by Brian, and a fabulous song, Painted Black, by the Rolling Stones. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.